Praise the living God. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Wonderful. Folks, real quick time to do a quick message. I want to get something into your spirit this morning that God has been cooking on my heart. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation? Hands up, how many of you are scared of the book of Revelation? One honest person, 3, 4, 5 honest people, 6, 7, 8 honest people, couple of suspects. The book of Revelation is full of all kinds of things that are very interesting, very mysterious, because, just to give you some background, the world that we live in right now, the temporal scene, touch, taste world, is within a project called time, right? So let's put it this way. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning, well, in the beginning of what? In the beginning of this great project called the seen, touch, taste, material world, God created the heavens and the earth. There were some things that weren't created within this project. So, for instance, water. There's nowhere in Scripture that water was created, for instance, right? Water is a transmutable substance between the eternal and the temporal. Have I lost everybody already? Am I making sense?
Yes.
So you won't find that in the book of Genesis that God created water anywhere, right? The Bible says that there was darkness over the face of the deep and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Well, where did they come from? Do you see what I mean? They came from eternity. Now, if you think a bit about it, you are what percent water? 80-something percent water? No, it changes. When you're a newborn baby, it's something you're like 90% water or something, and then it drops as you get older, and then when you get really crusty and wrinkly, then it's less water. It's all leaked out. Yeah, it's evaporated. So right now, as I talk to you, you are evaporated. You're melting. My goodness me, this is some Sunday morning revelation. Okay, so now, the book of Revelation, John the apostle, you know John was an apostle of Jesus, right? He was one of the 12, what they call the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And John is in this island called Patmos. Church history teaches us that John was actually boiled in oil to try and kill him. They couldn't kill him, no matter what they did to him. So they just dumped him on this island called Patmos, which is in Greece. And John is standing there, and all of a sudden, he gets an angelic visitation, and he gets a revelation from God, which he writes down, and that's how we get the book of Revelation. Everyone with me so far? Okay, so now John is on this island, and he's looking into, from the temporal touch, taste, seen world, he's looking into the eternal world, right? The Bible says that God dwells in eternity. So here's John, and he's being taken up from this time, TikTok orientated organism called the universe into the unseen world, the eternal world, the realm of the spirit, what Paul the Apostle called the third heavens, right? And he's seeing all manner of stuff. There's big eagles flying in heaven which can speak and which can shout with a loud voice. There's all kinds of animals there. There's horses that the angels ride on at this great triumphal process of Jesus as he is crowned once again King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the whole earth to see. Do you see what I mean? So there's like a major thing going on in the heavenly places, right? That's why a lot of people are scared of the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is written from a perspective of looking outside of time, what actually happened in time. So it's all, he says, I looked and I saw, right? He saw great beasts and he saw the end of the world. He saw like massive things that couldn't have happened unless that it was going to happen in this day and age. But yet he saw them a couple of thousand years back. And he wrote these things down as mysteries. But today, if you read the book of Revelation, they're like ordinary things to us. So he sees these three great people like the, what does he call it? The first beast, the second beast, and the false prophet. And he says there's a spirit like a frog, that's a marine spirit, coming out of the mouths of these people to deceive the nations, to tell the nations everything's all right, really, when the wrath of God is upon them. Anyone ready to run away? Okay. And so he's looking into this eternal thing from a temporal perspective. He's taken up into eternity, and then he has seen the whole world, the earth and its future, its destination, the way that the darkness gets darker but the light gets brighter, and the church is taken up, and you know, some of them are sacrificed on the altar of martyrdom and all that kind of thing, that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that they would obtain a better resurrection, etc., right? And this is where we're going to join John right now. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the 7th chapter of Revelation, and we're going to look at the 13th verse. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. I'm going somewhere very, very important this morning. The Bible says, "And one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'These who are clothed in white robes, who are they, and from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd. He shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." Now, this is obviously a group of people who have been through some form of martyrdom. Right? And they have stayed faithful, the Bible says, to the point of death. We've seen that lately in Sinjar in Iraq, right? Everyone know that, about the ISIS people beheading even children because of professing Christ, right? So now those people are now in eternity, right? We are looking in a temporal point of view, and literally we go from this thing called time, the natural world, we enter the supernatural world, the realm of eternity, the moment we die. The Bible says when we are absent from the body, we are what? Present with the Lord. It's as fast as that. It's as easy as crossing the road. Some people, they die in their sleep, they don't wake up. And death is no big deal, folks. For anyone who names the name of Jesus, death is no big deal. It's an enemy, but it's no big deal. It is to be fought. You should stay well. You should eat well. You should believe God for your health and your well-being. You should, you know, avoid accidents and, you know, look where you're going when you're crossing the road. Amen. Amen. Don't leave the deep fat fryer on when you go to sleep. Yes. You know, basic stuff. Amen. It's very, very important, right? Because death is an enemy. God wants us to have a good life and a good testimony, a long life. The Bible says, "With long life he shall satisfy you, fullness of days, you shall behold his salvation." So nudge your neighbor and tell him, look after yourself. It's very important to look after yourself. It's important to eat well. It's important to sleep well. When you're fasting, fast well. When you're eating, eat well. When you break your fast, don't pig, just eat normally, and don't pig out and eat like a king, not like a pig. Some of you can see I'm reading your stuff, man. You've been down the kebab shop one time too many. Okay, so now John is on this island and he is speaking to somebody. Now, if you've studied the book of Revelation, you'll know who this guy is, you'll know that he is one of a certain group. Verse 13 again there, please. So John is watching this thing happening in heaven. And one of these elders, it says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'These who are clothed in white robes, who are they?'" etc., right? So now, this guy who is an elder, the Bible says that there are 24 elders. Am I right? We haven't got time to go into the word today because I have to condense everything. There are 24 elders around the throne of God. The Bible says they serve him day and night, etc., etc., right? Now, there isn't a Bible scholar in the land who would disagree that those 24 elders, that 12 of those elders are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Right? So John is looking out of the temporal world. He's taken up into the realm of the spirit, and he's seen 24 elders. Well, one of those elders then is him. It's very important that you get this. It's really, really important. Jesus said himself, in fact, let's turn really quickly to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. I want to get something very deep and very profound, but very simple into your spirit this morning. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So here's John. He's coming up into this vision in heaven, and he's seeing 24 elders. Now, wouldn't it be just like the Spirit of God to play a joke on John? That the one talking to John. And who are these? Turn back to verse 13 there, Revelation 7:13. I want to get a greater sense of eternity into your spirit this morning. Because we're all going somewhere. When your breath leaves your body, you are going somewhere. And I pray that you end up in the right place. Look at this. "Then one of the elders answered to me, saying, 'These who are clothed in white robes, who are they and where have they come from?'" Verse 14. "I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.'" Now you imagine that this conversation is between John and John. If it's not between John and John, chances are it's between one of the other 12 and John. The one that actually knew him. John walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was so close to Jesus, the Bible said that he was leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper. You know, that kind of closeness, there's an intimacy there, right? And it's like, you know, Jesus is on a mission here. He's going to break bread and pour out the cup of the Messiah. And John's all over him. It's like, dude, get off me, man. I'm trying to preach what I'm here for, the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the body or the blood. Do you see what I'm saying? And there's John, right? And John, then he's then in heaven. So he spent 3.5 years with at least 12 of those guys. I wonder, would you recognize your eternal self? I didn't. When I first got a glimpse, you see, right, this is what the Bible says. "Whosoever says that Jesus is Lord is born of God." Literally born of God. The spirit that God gives us is the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, "Abba, Father," but we are actually born of God himself. Yes. Would you recognize your eternal self? Question number one. See, the Bible says, "Eye has not seen, neither his ear heard, nor has it even entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them by his spirit." So you can catch this by revelation. I said you can catch this by revelation. You see, we wouldn't mess around half the way we mess around if we knew our eternal self. I can prove it. The Bible says everyone with this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. So we have no understanding of our eternal self. It's very important that we get a grasp. We start to understand that there's an eternal us. The moment that you are born again, the moment that you make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, there's a new you. And the important thing to do is to allow the new you to be downloaded so that the old you, the all that's left of the old you, is this outer skin. So that I can go to a school reunion, for instance, people will recognize my face. They say, "Oh, Paul, how are you doing?" But they don't know that a brand new man is alive and living on the inside of that person. Because with that new man comes new capabilities. I'm not the old person. I can lay hands on somebody who's sick and I can see them get healed. I've done it thousands of times. I can preach the gospel and blind eyes will open. I've done it. Do you understand? Because there's something new that's on the inside of me that wasn't there before that can now be a help to humanity. Where I used to rob humanity and take from humanity, I'm now adding, I'm now multiplying to humanity. Hallelujah. May you do the same in the name of Jesus Christ. This stuff is very, very powerful. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get in touch with the eternal you. You see, there's a new you. When you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's not just a nice little sinner's prayer and, you know, then you go for water baptism and then you join a church and then you join their Bible academy or whatever and you, like, your house is full of certificates. Anyone else's house full of certificates? I walk in some people's houses one day, particularly the Anna man's house. It's like you're tripping over certificates, dedication, like baptism. May you do life changes in Jesus' name. No pressure there, Nana. And it's like a hallway of certificates. And it's like, wow. You see, but that's not the eternal Nana. Let's use you as an example. The eternal person, right, is brand new. Brand new, doesn't think the same way as the old person. Now, I'm not talking about losing your mind and, you know, going on LSD trips and God knows what else. No, I'm talking about having your feet firmly on the ground, but your head dwelling in eternity. You see, we even think differently. And I don't know about you, but the biggest struggle I've had in my life has been to train myself to think like the new creature that God says I am. God said it to me once. He said, the new creation is the only of all my creation. The new creation is the only one struggling to become what it already is. I thought, wow. Because, you know, as a kid, like, you know, our children, what did Abigail say to us one day? She said, Daddy, I when I grow up, I want to be someone. And I just looked at her and said, well, sweetheart, you are someone already? You're Abby and the world is waiting for you. Her eyes lit up. Big wow. And it's like the world's a stage. It's like, ta-da! She's just, you can tell. She's just brimming with all this, like the world is waiting for me now. But that's what the Bible says. Creation longs for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what we need. We need to allow our sonship to take root on the inside of us, that we think differently, that we act differently. You heard Charles Prempeh's testimony this morning. Can you imagine how that sounds to the world? That the Holy Spirit, this spirit you can't see, because the Bible says to the only wise God, immortal, invisible. So you can't see him. So he speaks to this dude to throw his wage packet into the offering. That's insanity as far as the world is concerned. Most people can't get by in the month with their money, never mind without it. But yet you've heard the testimony. That's how we live. We live by our giving. But there's a road you've got to cross, because it's like the carnal mind will try and get in the way of the new creation. So like I said a couple of weeks ago, your biggest enemy isn't the devil. The biggest enemy is your mind. You've got to take hold of your mind and discipline it and cause it to think the way that God thinks. God said that to me the other day. Just about the stupidity of our thinking. That he doesn't manifest his presence more many times in our lives because we mess the whole thing up. Our big mouths would get in the way or something like that. So God can only like release us to the level that he can release us to, knowing our overall picture. Because he's not here to destroy us. He's here to raise us up and to elevate. May you be elevated in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I've learned, you know, more and more to stay quiet. I've learned that from scripture. The Bible says even a fool, I love that scripture. Even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, is considered wise. Hey, the amount of heartache that scripture has saved me is powerful, powerful. Praise God. The Bible says that we are his workmanship. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 real quick. I'm going to close in about 3 minutes, but I want to get this into your spirit because there's an eternal you that you need to make contact with. For we are his workmanship. Now, this is God telling us who I am. I know who God says I am. This is God telling us who we am. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We see ourselves many times, you know, as a twinkle in our grandmother's eye, or in our mother's eye rather, and our father's eye. You know, it was a cold November evening, there was nothing else to do, so they retired to bed early, and suddenly he looked at her, and the rest is history. Out 9 months later, out pops little Johnny or little Jeannie, and do you see what I'm saying? You know the course, I hope you know by now, the birds and the bees. If not, please come and see Waffa P for deliverance. But you know how we came about in the natural. But you see, there's a new person here that God is introducing us to by his Spirit through his word. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Literally created from the inside of Christ Jesus. Do you see how powerful that is? Do you see how liberating it is that we understand, hang on a second, this person who grew up so-and-so in London or, Bosnia or Sri Lanka or Zimbabwe or Congo or wherever you grew up, this person who was the twinkle in his father's eye, that's one person. That's the shell now that this new creation is living, because now I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So my whole raison d'etre now is different. The Bible puts it this way in John chapter 1. It says that we weren't born of the flesh, nor of the desire of man, nor of the desire of the flesh, but we were born by the will and purpose of God. So there's a brand new me. All those bits of the old me, they're still trying to hang on. They're still trying to, I hope you get this. I hope you get this. You see, wherever you grew up, there's a line. When you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, there's a line you cross into a new you, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Praise God Almighty. We weren't born of the will of the flesh. We weren't born of the will and the purpose of man. We were born of God. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Get to know the new you, folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, get to know the new you. There's a new you. You can look at the new you, say, yoo-hoo. New you, yoo-hoo. There's a supernatural you. There's a dynamic you. May you get to know that person in the mighty name of Jesus. I didn't know myself until God revealed who I am to me through his word. And I thought, wow, you know what? These things, these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, I believe, so these signs shall follow me. Amen. What's that? That's the eternal me talking to the temporal me. I have a question for you. What would the eternal you say to the temporal you? Right now, in eternity, supposing we can blast through this seen natural universe into the heavenlies, the third heaven, where Christ is seated. The Bible says, he raised us up and he seated us in Christ even before we were born. Work that one out. In eternity, the Bible, you can read it yourself. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's one of the reasons why Bible teachers love Ephesians the most usually. You can tell a Bible teacher because they're all over Ephesians. You can't even read it because of the amount of notes. That's what it's like. But you see yourself in eternity. What would the eternal you say right now to the temporal you? How many of you've suffered in this life since making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? For one reason or another, you've suffered. I know anyone who's lost a child, that's suffering. I've suffered. Anyone else? Anyone else suffered? You have suffered. Maybe not to that extent, but you've suffered. Put your hand up right now since making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You've suffered, and sometimes you don't even know why. It's like, wow. You know, life's got this way of throwing curveballs at you. You know what they call them? Black swans. They're called black swans because you can have 1,000 generations of white swans, and then suddenly a black swan is born to a white swan. and it's just a random occurrence. Anyone had one of them? Just random, out of the blue. Where did this come from? It's more than you could ask or think, but in the opposite direction. Yeah. Right. That's a black swan. That's one of those things that life throws at. And I thought to myself, wow, what would the eternal me say to the temporal me? You know, it came out in a song. For those of you, you remember a band called the Crusaders, old rare groove band from the 60s and 70s? Yeah. Keep on, keep that same old feeling. You know that song? Side Effect did a cover of it. Why don't you keep that same old feeling? Lord, you know what I'm going to do one day? You know what I'm going to do one day? I'm going to bring you all to Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club to give you an education in music. You might have to pay your own way in, but hey, there's a song, keep on, keep that same old feeling. And Paul the Apostle, he put it this way. Look at this now. We're going to close on this, these two scriptures, I promise you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says that when we're a man in Christ, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. But look at 2 Corinthians 4, 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is a guy, he was shipwrecked. He was starved. He was beaten. The Bible says 39 times. You can read it yourself in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Three times, he says, I received 39 lashes from the Jews. These were the people that were supposed to welcome the Messiah. They rejected him, so Paul went off to the Gentiles and preached. As a result, the Jews persecuted him, and three times they gave him 39 lashes. Now, that's not like, you know, this is ISIS-level lashes. Do you see what I mean? You know, you play football in the street, ISIS will come and... Even still, in Iran, can you imagine? That you know that song, Happy, by Pharrell Williams, Because I'm Happy? Three people did a cover version from that on a rooftop in Tehran. The religious police arrested them because they called it decadent to be happy. This year in Iran, some nations, you're not even allowed to be happy. You need to thank God for this nation. You need to thank God for the freedom and the liberty we have in this nation. As far as I know, nobody got shot at on the way to church this morning. There's certain places you can go, you'll be shot at for going to church. They can pea shoot you and they won't even face prosecution. Thank God for this land. Thank God for this land. Thank God for this land. Paul the Apostle, he says, I was shipwrecked. He said, oh, once he was killed by stoning. Some bunch of people raised him from the dead. Then three times, he says, from the Jews, I received 39 lashes. He says, I was in the deep for a night and a day. That's a long time to be in the sea. I don't like more than 3 hours. And he's a day and a night in the sea. He said, with fastings often. And he says, on top of all that, he says, there's the care, there's the pressure, there's the merimna of the church resting on my shoulders, right? But then in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, he says this. He says, this momentary light affliction, hey, this stuff that he went through, he calls it momentary light affliction. By the grace of God, I can call the death of our 2-year-old child in the year 2000 momentary light affliction. Why? Because by his stripes I'm healed. Do you understand? It happened. I ain't crying over it. I'm crying. In fact, sometimes I even forget her birthday. You know, because why? She's in heaven. She's in that dimension now of eternity. Everyone's standing there, you know, like when relatives die and stuff like that. And you can understand it. If somebody goes before their time, there's that pain of separation or whatever. But when it's a person's time to go, release them. Release them. Bless her. Oh, we're praying, you know, we're praying that my grandma will live another day. How old is she? Oh, 94 and a half. Let her go. She can't eat. She can't sleep. She can't use the loo. She can't, do you understand? Let granny go. I hope I'm going to get letters, aren't I, about this, Pastor P. My granny right now, and you said let her go, she died. I'm holding you responsible. You killed my grandmother. Oh, my, my, my. Dear, 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 if it's their time to go, release them. In Jesus' mighty name. It's the ones who, where it's not time to go, you fight that devil. You fight that devil in Jesus' name. We'll see the dead raised. I know it. I've been practicing. We'll see the dead raised. Might be some of you. We'll see it happen. We'll see it happen. Absolutely. I know it. Why? Because you see, from the temporal to the eternal and the eternal to the temporal, Jesus is in the middle. When Jacob's ladder appeared, right? The Bible says he saw a ladder. He saw angels descending and ascending. Well, that ladder is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. So you can get from the natural realm into the realm of the spirit by Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep can come in and go out freely. It's not like witches where one time they go out and the devil doesn't let them back again. God will give you that revelation. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The Bible says this in Hebrews. He says, cast not away your confidence because it has great recompense of reward. You see, one of the reasons that people will cast away their confidence is because they're not in touch with the eternal them. They can't hear the eternal them spurring them on. They can't hear the voice of God. He can't hear his angel saying, come on, son, you can do it. You can become that which I've already made you in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. Stand to your feet. We're going to thank God for his word. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you that you stepped out of eternity in the form of your son, our savior, Jesus Christ. And from that, Lord God, from that one sacrifice, when you raised him from the dead, you stood before him and you said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this throne that Jesus is seated on right now in glory is eternal. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that the thrones that the apostle of the Lamb and the other 12 elders are sat on are for eternity, Lord God, because they understood something about this world, that this world and all that is in it is passing away. It's fading away. We have 9-to-5s. We have Mondays to Fridays. We have 3 meals a day, etc., etc. But behind that, there is a world that is going off to a lost eternity. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon us, that we can realize our eternity in Christ, that we have been raised up and seated with him in the heavenly places. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to walk towards that eternal destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, release the new us more and more as we are carried even in our same old shell. The natural world is fading, but the eternal us is being renewed day by day. The outer man perishes, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us carry this revelation, God, that we can indeed, Lord God, be the right side of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We give you the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.